Hello, and welcome to yet another episode of the Back to the TARDIS podcast, the podcast where we take a look at every single episode of the 2005 revival of BBC's Doctor Who. I'm Jeff.
I am Aurora, and sick.
I don't fucking know.
And this week, we are discussing Series 10, Episode 4, Knock Knock by, God, who the fuck even wrote this one? It's not a normal name. Mike Bartlett, who I believe has only written this story. I feel like we're continuing the social commentary trend here just a little bit with like a housing crisis nod, kind of. But I feel like the difference here is that, I don't know. I actually feel like the moments where it like alludes to real world stuff is like kind of the worst parts.
I mean, I don't think it even like makes a fixation out of that. It's just sort of like the setup, yeah. And then moves on to something that's just completely unrelated to real world problems, pretty much.
But it's basically kind of a simple little haunted house shindig. Which to me was just it's notable because one of Bill's housemates is the voice actor for a major Final Fantasy 14 character, so I took a picture of me pointing at him and doing the pointing Wojak face,
as is your god-given right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, atmosphere and character are definitely strong suits. There's social commentary, but I was just like, we all know why we're here at this point. Yeah.
I think it's an evil house. It's the house that eats people. Mamma mia.
It's like, I think one of this episode's strengths is just the vibe it has where like, nobody really questions the Doctor being around that much, except for Bill. He's just allowed to just kind of wander around and be weird, and nobody really cares.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? Your housemate brings over her weird grandpa, and he's being weird. What are you going to do, you know?
It's just like, oh, this is...
I love the bit where he...
This is some WPS.
Yeah, I love the bit where she introduces him as her granddad, and he's like, "I'm not old. I don't look old enough for that."
And she's like, "Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!"
And also it has noted actor and portrayer of Inspector Poirot, David Suchet, as the weird creepy old guy that everybody should probably have been a little bit more wary of.
Again, a different brand of WPS.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it feels almost like it's weird how it feels like almost like, so I admittedly I don't have that much familiarity with the particular genre, but I swear like this setup feels like them trying to do their version of like a slasher movie. Like it has all the tropes, like creepy house, it's old, it's very cheap, and they're just like, oh no, it's okay, it'll be fine, despite a bunch of like very clear signs that like no it won't, and then they start getting picked off one by one.
It's like creepy old mansion, creepy old guy, it's way too cheap, everything's a little bit too creaky. It's like a pretty basic horror setup. I think it's quirky and fun.
Everyone else is young and hot. Yeah, it fits. Really doesn't pay to be genre savvy in the world of Doctor Who, but Also, we've reset the canon like
yeah.
half a dozen times by now, so fuck it, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, like, Bill's here, like this is really weird. I don't know what's up with this, but also at the same time, like, hey, it's a big ass house for cheap, so like, you know, sometimes you gotta go with that. So yeah, I will say, like, there's some jank, like, in terms of keeping up on the CG, there is some jank ass CG in here, but I think there's also some very good practical stuff too.
Yeah.
Like, I really like the, brain moment. I really like the effect for, like, the mother that's become, like, wood. It's, like, between this and the Weeping Angels, it's, like, the Mills, who are the, like, effects group. The Mills, like, forte seems to be making things that should be inanimate objects, like making people look like they should be inanimate objects but aren't.
Yeah, this feels like the perfect, I don't know, synthesis, but, like, we obviously have those, like, tree people in series one briefly, and then we kind of give that up until the doctor, the widow, and the wardrobe, and those wood people were, I guess, whatever. They didn't look bad, but, like, this, I don't know, this is a superior wood makeup design.
This is pretty good.
Yeah. No, I like how it's utilized here.
I mean, it also has the benefit of, like, if it's kind of, like, stiff or jerky, that's fine, and in fact it kind of works into, like, the immersion, because it's wood. It is a little bit jerky. It's solid wood, you know. It's not easy.
Oh yeah.
That's
sort of what I meant. It's not the tree people in that, like, oh, she's just walking around fine and she has tits because sci-fi.
Yeah.
No, it's good.
I do also really the effect of the guy in the wall.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, that's some good, real good shit. Absolutely.
That was like some actual horror shit,
yeah. Yeah, like the actual it runs into a similar thing, and this I feel like this happens a lot of times, where it's like, okay, if this isn't moving, it's fine. It's when it starts moving that it starts to look a lot rougher. Because, like, when they're actually getting, like, bugged or, like, absorbed into the wood, that one looks kind of bad. But, like, when it's just, like, a stationary thing, that works pretty well.
Yeah. Not quite as well as the flatline effect.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the flatline effect is a place where they really, they almost weaponize the fact that it looks janky and not right, because it's something from, not from this plane of existence. So yeah, it doesn't look right because it doesn't conform to our universe.
No, yeah, that's what I meant, but yeah.
That being said, I think it is, like, I feel like any case where you're in a situation where you're like, yeah, no, you can have this house today, and without even checking, like, what amenities it has, like, I know y'all are desperate, but damn.
Yeah. And then they don't have a washing machine.
Yeah, it's like you don't even check to see if you have a fucking washing machine. Like, what?
Look, this is a cottagecore fantasy, okay? We don't need no fucking... We're Luddites here. If the house just happens to kill a few of us off, fuck technology. I don't know. Watch Star Trek Insurrections.
I think it's always really fun when you run into an episode where, in terms of, like, humanoids, and not even just humanoids, but, like, people that look human, even, it's always really funny when the Doctor isn't the weirdest one of those in the room. Like, everybody's like, yeah, this guy's fucking weird. So yeah, otherwise it's kind of just a runabout, you know. And that's, you know, that's fine, that's cool, but I do think this, in like the overall series trajectory, this kind of is just filler. It's enjoyable filler, but it's even more filler than the other episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't pop in the same way the last few episodes did.
Yeah.
It's very mediocre.
Yeah. Like, it works. Let me put it this way. If this was a series 2 episode, it would be one of the better episodes of the season.
Yeah.
If this was a Chibnall episode, we'd admire it for its stunning competency.
And you put in a Cyberman. It's like we've done the typical, like, companion thing, right? Like, we've introduced them, we've gone to the future, we've gone to the past. They have, like, a pretty solid handle on being with the Doctor. They're... You know, Bill is nothing like Clara yet in how, like, competent she'd become. But she's not like the other students anymore. Like, she's on the inside. She's on the other side of the looking glass, however the fuck you want to put it. Like, she's starting to recognize...
Yeah, exactly.
Some things, even if the main conceit is that there's a housing crisis, which, you know, valid. Pop off, King.
Yeah.
Yeah. So true. But no, it's still good filler. It's still good atmosphere. It's still, like, a good message, even if, like, the reason you're saying that this landlord is a bastard is not because he's a landlord, but because his mom is made of wood. There's probably a Freudian joke you could use there, but...
God, there's some weird-ass undertones from the end of this.
There is,
I don't know how much you guys want to talk about that, but this is kind of weird. I don't know.
Look, I'm sure someone on AO3 has run with this idea. I'm not sure we need to.
Oh God. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah. I will say, like, yeah, I think, I really do think that the episode itself is still, you know, pretty fun, pretty enjoyable, but I do think that the ending kind of messes it. Like, I feel like the ending kind of stops working as well as some of the rest of the episode was. Like, I know this is Doctor Who, and, like, I am getting, like, a little bit nitpicky here, but just the fact of, like, she sacrifices herself and then somehow everyone else is brought back to life after she does that. Like, if they flipped the events in which that occurred, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But yeah. Also, the fact that the entire house is consumed, even though you can clearly see from the outside that it's not all wood. Like, at the very least, like, the foundation should still be there. There was a bunch of stone in that shot. Yeah, and it does feel a little 45-minute syndrome-y of just, like... It's super... It feels super Moffat, too, also. In like, it's almost back to that fucking fairy tale shit. With the,
like, yeah, especially the constant references, like him naming them dryads. Also, I don't think we ever actually clarified where they came from.
They just showed up. Yeah, which I mean, that's fine. I don't need everything fine, to be concretely explained. But
what is it with Doctor Who and having tree-centered episodes where it's very implausible? You've had, like, what?
See, this one isn't even as funny as the last one. That last one was so cracked out that it's, like, funny. This one's just kind of like, it's all right, yeah. I guess. I need the unhinged tree shit, yeah. You know? Just really go full in on the just ridiculous, like... If they just went all in on the vaguely Freudian undertones, that would have been memorable. But no, we're just stuck with it being all right and then just, like, kind of questionable.
Yeah, I mean, this gives me... This isn't as... It's obviously better, but it, like, kind of gives me, like, Chloe Weber vibes. Like, yeah, there's a message.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, it kind of does.
It's like, yeah, there's a message. Yeah, there's kind of, like, this tense tone. Yeah, there's some people who should really fucking know better about what's going on. And it's better implemented than that. I'm not saying, like, oh, these are, like, neck and neck. But it has that kind of vibe as a filler episode, like, gearing into, like, some heavier shit, which, like, in a hop, skip, and a jump, we're gonna be into some episodes that are, like, gonna start off like a mid-series arc. Like, it's like you kind of have to have stuff like this.
Yeah. And then, oh yeah, and at the very end, there's the vault tease, which I think is really well done this episode. I really like the bit. Like, it's slightly nerfed by the fact that they did in fact come back, but I think it's really fucking funny how she basically stonewalls him until he talks about, like, oh yeah, a bunch of kids got eaten too.
Yeah, that was so good. Also the piano.
Yeah. And Nardole's like, why did you do that? But yeah, no, I mean, so it's the kind of thing where it's impossible for me to say, like, how well any of this works but how well, like, is it overly foreshadowed that it's the master, like, how kind of clear that is, because that's already been revealed that Genie is not going back into the bottle anytime soon. But yeah, no, it's a good ending. It's a good tease. Pretty shortly, she'll be actually, you know, showing up for real, and we can get into the real meat and potatoes. But, you know, right now, they're still trying to hide what's actually in the vault.
Yeah, you kind of gave it away because you... If there's somebody listening to this who hasn't watched this season, you kind of just spoiled it to them.
Anyone who's here and listening to this, I am expecting already knows who's in the vault. I'm just talking from the perspective of someone who doesn't know that already. Like just trying to put myself in there, in that person's shoes. Not that I expect that person to actually be listening to the show. Though, if you remember how fooled you are, please feel free to let us know.
Yeah. I have something on my mind, but it's kind of off topic. But it feels prescient. So apparently Matt Lucas is being canceled again.
Is this because of the Great British Bake Off?
Yeah, because the Great British Bake Off decided to do Mexican Week. And you know, the clips do sound...
This is what happens when we let the British get too comfortable. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, they haven't been dealing with anything over there. Someone needs to throw them a few curveballs. But, yeah, it was just... And I don't even like hate Matt Lucas or like think he should be like forever canceled or anything. I'm just like, my guy, like, what are you doing?
Is he doubling down on it on Twitter?
I don't know. I stopped following him.
Why it's funny know? Because I saw the thing with like the Mexican thing. Okay, I didn't actually know about Matt Lucas doing like racist shit before, but it's because of this like stupid Mexican stuff, which I think is like it's hokey and dumb, but I wouldn't be like too pressed about it personally. But then I was like, it's hilarious that he's getting canceled for this when he did blackface, and I was like,
no. And like, I don't know if he ever, I mean, Emma would probably know whether or not he actually ever apologized for that, because I think like ultimately with that part, that was like in 2008, and while like, yeah, that's still a little bit too late for that, if he at least like acknowledged that like, yeah, no, that's shitty and you shouldn't do that, I'd be like fine with it. It's more if he just kind of pretends that it didn't happen that I'm like,
yeah. I mean, it's the blackface is definitely the worst offense. Like, all they do is like they dress up in like some sombreros, and then they like make a joke in like Spanish. Again, I haven't seen the whole episode, although I could. It's just, you know, maybe he doesn't care.
I hate to be a little bit facetious, but I will jokingly say they're British. What did you expect?
This is true. All British people that I know who are chill also happen to be Irish or Scottish, so I think that bloodline is really doing the majority of the heavy.
Nah, Emma's chill too.
I'm kidding. Chill. Yeah, no, y'all can be cool. Yeah, I mean, like, I guess he's lost some weight, it looks like, so I guess something about life isn't bothering him anymore. Yeah. If that is indeed his choice, so cool. That had nothing to do with anything we talked about for like the past 20 minutes, but it was...
Matt Lucas is in the episode. It's fine. Brain moment. Yeah. Do you guys, I'm going to be real. I haven't even watched the trailer. The new trailer that just dropped. I haven't even watched it. the last 13 episode.
I don't care.
Yeah,
but the power of the Doctor someone else, I forget. Fuck you. I don't know. Yes,
Tegan.
Her.
It's Tegan. I'm going to watch it just because I want to see how this ends, but I do not expect anything from it, and I also like. I don't expect anything, and I don't expect anything, and I'm not watching Sea Devils.
Based.
It seems like we joke about the past 5 years being an anime filler arc, but Sea Devils seems like it is actual anime filler.
What is Sea Devils?
The last episode.
The last
that came.
Episode that came.
Their
out.
Easter oh, special. Okay. Yeah, I believe it was around Easter. Is how they build it. Yeah. I'm mainly curious to see if, like, if when the regeneration happens, first of all, if it, like, happens at all in the episode, it probably will, but, like, when it does, yeah, if we're gonna end up with, like, a 6th to 7th Doctor situation where they know, where we know they're regenerating, but they hadn't, like, quite nailed down who and
when they finished filming. Yeah.
And like it seems pretty, I mean, like, spoilers, we've kind of talked about it before, so fuck off, but like we know Tennant is gonna be in the 60th, but like, did they know that at the time? How the hell have shooting schedules been lining up? Like, I honestly have no goddamn idea, and that's just like interesting to me from a filmmaking perspective. So if we end the episode and it's like a fade, or we start to see some like bad CGI compositioning of her features turning into Tennant before it like fades to black,
I'm gonna laugh my ass off if that happens. That'll be so funny. And just really, like, it underpins how much of a nightmare era the last 5 years have been. Like, I don't know if y'all saw this. Did you see the thing where they basically said, yeah, we didn't know that RTD was going to take over until like 24 hours before the rest of the world, which was like while they were filming the last episode. So, like, oh, while they were shooting, they had no idea if the show was even going to keep going.
That's like, damn.
It's such a fucking nightmare. It's like, God. I'm just glad that it really seems like RTD's, like, condition on coming back is like, no, motherfucker, I get full creative control. Like, my production company will handle it. You can air it and you can make money off of it, but I will be the one making the decisions of what is aired, and then you just air the finished product. Cause yeah, no, they've completely, like, the BBC, the BBC is no longer producing Doctor Who. They are still airing it. It is still their property, but all production has gone entirely over to Bad Wolf. That was another installment of News Corner, which I feel like comes up when we don't have much to talk about the actual
episode. Yeah, we don't have shit to talk about. This is the filler week.
Anything else you guys have to say on this particular episode?
Isn't one of the characters supposed to be like a Easter egg, like the grandson of like a classic character or something?
Is it? I never noticed. Let me check the wiki. Let's see.
I feel like I read that somewhere.
Oh! Wait! The Alfano was supposed to be fucking Harry Sullivan's grandson? Holy shit.
Yeah, that's the one.
Huh. I didn't know about that. That's cool. I respect that. I respect that they gave that to the character that was being played by Alfano's voice actor. Hell yeah. All right. Cool. Yeah. Okay. Moving on to ratings. Yeah, it's fine. I don't want to punch down, but like, it's fine and it is more acceptable filler than most of what the show has been doing recently, I feel. And that's kind of depressing. But yeah, it's fine. Like, B.
Yeah. Again, this is very... This is very competent. This is a good Doctor Who. A nice, you know, cast of ensemble for like the kind of tone they're going for. Setting is good. CGI and effects are mostly good, mostly when still or when we're talking about the landlord's mother. There's atmosphere. There's like commentary. but none of it, like, is truly stellar. But it's still there, and still works. Bill and Capaldi, again, kind of the highlight. Especially here, because of their, like, just, like, differing, like, paths in life. So, yeah, it's a solid 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. It's just a very basic episode. I think it's got an interesting setup and aesthetic, and it just sort of like goes with that. It doesn't do much. It doesn't do anything really crazy. It's just it's a pretty okay episode. I'd say it's like a 7 out of 10.
Yeah. I would just like to say that, good news, everyone. This is still not our shortest episode. The shortest, which means that we still get to keep it so that our shortest episode is the Sleep No More one.
Based.
As God intended. All right. So yeah. Next week we will be taking a look at Oxygen. Which we will probably have much more to talk about than we did this week. Until then, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at B2TardisPod. You can support us on Patreon for a number of benefits, such as early access to episodes, the ability to listen in live to episodes being recorded, and potentially even the ability to guest star upon an episode of your choosing. I'm Jeff. You can follow me on Twitter at WheatleyDL.
I'm Aurora. Insert your Freudian joke here. You can follow us on Twitter at Aurora Borealis.
I think Freud was a hack fraud. That's my joke.
Based. You can follow us on
Freud, more like fraud.
Our Twitter handle is Aurora Borealis because we're original. Yes, give us a follow and say hi. I don't know.
I've been trapped in COVID prison for over a week, and I haven't eaten any meat, and I really want a burger.
Send them your condolences in this trying time.
Inshallah, you get a burger soon.
You're not even in France, so I can't make the Pulp Fiction Royale with cheese joke. SMH. Anyways, we'll see you all next week.
They do actually call it a Royale with cheese here.
Oh, cool. Hell yeah. Let's go.
Well, Royale mit Käse, but yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, see y'all next week.